Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and each went to his own town to be registered. And Joseph went from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, for he was of the house and line of David. He went with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in bands of cloth, and she laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. Now in that same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy which shall be to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all on whom God's favor rests." When the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us." And they went in haste, and there they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known all that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it were filled with wonder. But Mary, she kept all of these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had been told them. And you too, we are filled with wonder. And we ponder these things in our hearts. And we too, like the shepherds, we glorify and praise God for all that we have seen and heard, just as it has been told us. For this is the night that God breathes love in the world. This is the night that God breathes peace in the world. This is the night that joy comes to the world. So let us worship this God. So in these Advent weeks, in preparation for this night, we here at Village have been imagining what it would be like to celebrate Christmas with the different gospel writers, with Matthew, Mark, with Luke, with John, to celebrate it at their homes. But tonight's not about their house. Tonight's about your house. How is Christmas celebrated at your house? Are there foods that have to be prepared, or else it's not Christmas? Are there rules about decorations? Do you have to have blinking lights? You got to have blinking lights, or it's just not Christmas? Do you go caroling somewhere? How about the gifts? Does everybody just jump in at one time, bows ripping and paper torn and the oohs and ahs competing? Or are you more Presbyterian about it? Decent and in order. Now it's Charlotte's turn. Let's get a present for Charlotte. Of course, the most important thing about Christmas is who is there. And when that's not right, it touches us deep down. And we love to be home for Christmas and to be with whoever it is that makes home home for you. And I will tell you the truth. For me, I love this service. I love to be here with you with just enough light to remind us that we're going to be okay. And to sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and to hear again the story on which we base our lives. And I love the quiet of this night. I do. And I worry that says something about my age. There was a time when I loved the excitement of Christmas, you know, the little kid jumping up and down excitement. And I loved the surprise. The best were when I could find just the right gift and it wasn't on the list. And it's a surprise. Oh, that's the best. And I loved those marker years, you know, the year of the first bike, the year of the first guitar, the year of the first car, maybe, the year of the first cell phone. Now I'm looking forward to the year where you get the cell phone off your plan. That's what I'm looking for. But now I love the quiet of this night. Just the story and the song and the candlelight, that's what I love. Which is a bit ironic, right? Because this is a night to celebrate a baby being born. And I know enough to know there's not a lot of quiet about a baby being born. I mean, I've seen the artwork. You've seen all the paintings of Mary and Jesus and Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And in all of the artwork, they're quiet. They're even glowing some of the time. But that's artwork. That's painting. If one of the shepherds had done a little Facebook Live, I think we would have had a different experience. It wasn't quiet. They were on the road, for one thing. They were not home for Christmas. They were not on vacation. They were not taking a road trip. They were meeting their obligation to Caesar. They were parents for a child they had not planned for. They weren't married yet. And it was most likely an arranged marriage. So they probably didn't even know each other that well. And the village where they were supposed to stay made no room for them or for their child. There were no doctors, no epidural. I don't think Mary would have described it as a silent night. But with all of that, it wouldn't surprise me if she described it as a wondrous night, maybe even miraculous. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Dorothy Day, she lived through most of the 1900s. She's designated by the Catholic Church as a servant of God But she wasn't always that way. As a young person, she lived a more bohemian kind of lifestyle. She dreamed big dreams, and she worked for big things, and she endeavored to become a journalist. But then Dorothy Day, she had a child, a daughter, she named Tamar. And she describes the birth of her own daughter this way. She said, "If I had written the greatest book, if I had composed the greatest symphony, if I had painted the most beautiful painting or carved the most exquisite figure, I could not have felt the more exalted creator than I did when they placed my child in my arms. No human creature could receive or contain so vast a flood of love and joy as I often felt after the birth of my child." So as a pastor, I have been privileged from time to time to hear words like that from people like you. And I remember one of the first times that I witnessed that. I was still in seminary. I had an internship in a tiny church in the mountains of Western Virginia, and I got a call that David and Debbie Smith, they were at the hospital and they were having their baby, and could I come? This was my first time to do a hospital visit for a newborn. I went, I found the waiting room. David was in the waiting room. He was pacing back and forth like he was the ball at Wimbledon. He was so uptight, he would have made coffee nervous. He'd been kicked out of the birthing suite because he was stressing everybody out back there. I just watched him pace back and forth for a while, and finally the nurse came out and told him he was a dad. He was a boy. I said, what's his name? David said, "Well, we're naming him William, but I'm calling him Scooter." He grabbed my hand. He said, "Come on." I said, "Whoa, wait. I don't think I need to go back there with you, right? I'm sure Debbie is tired. I don't think I need to go back there." He said, "Come on." He held on to my hand like a northern trout on a lure, and he pulled me back into the birthing suite. So I'd seen children. I'd seen babies before. But I'd never seen one when they first show up. And I got to tell you, not our best moment. It's not our best moment. I looked at this child, and it kind of had a pointed head and scratchy a little bit, and he hadn't had a bath. And I'm looking at the nurse thinking, "I think Scooter needs some help over here. I think we need to come." I was looking. And then Debbie said, "Isn't he beautiful?" I was so glad I realized it wasn't really a question. I said, "I've never seen anything like it." She said, "He's so beautiful." I said, "He does look a lot like his dad." David cradled Scooter, looked into his face, and said, "Welcome to the world, little one. Welcome home." It's its own kind of falling in love. Some of you know that moment. It's also really important to say that for too many, you would give anything to know that moment. You would love to know that moment. But for reasons of mystery, you're left waiting and wondering. The Bible knows that story too. Of Sarah and Hannah and others pleading for a child. The mysteries of all that I do not comprehend, but I do think it is a good thing for a child to be loved like that even before he's had his first bath. For Mary, this child came, and I doubt it was silent, but I bet it changed her.
Visitors came singing songs they had learned from angels and sharing prophetic words about this little one in manger straw. And it says Mary pondered these things. She pondered these things. What is that? You know exactly what that is. That is that feeling that comes to you like a thunderclap when you realize you are the parent now. And nobody has prepared you for this, and you're looking for someone thinking, we need a little help over here, we don't know what to do. And you begin to realize almost immediately that if you love a child, yours or anybody else's, if you love a child, it changes how you see the world. And not necessarily for the better. For when you love a child, you realize anew how the world can break your heart, stomp on your dreams, cast you aside, and you go into full-blown protection mode. You go into their room when they're sleeping just to be there. You watch them like a hawk at the store or an amusement park, my goodness, and lose sight of them for 2 minutes, and it'll give you gray hair. I am a worthy testimony for this. And then you have your hand on the back of the bicycle seat, running along there. You're doing great. You step down into the water in the pool, say, jump to me. I got you. You're fine. I got you. And then they start dating. My daughter's first boyfriend, I'm just going to call him Frank, all right, Frank. She met him at church camp, which I assume I should take comfort from. But anxiety is my spiritual gift, and the way I look at it is that all of the guys that God has made heretofore have just been practice. And God is yet to make a guy worthy of my daughter, okay? That's just sort of the way I look at it. And so I did not know Frank. I didn't get to meet Frank. But I had a friend who knew Frank, and he spoke to him for me. He said, hey, Frank, do you know Tom? You know Reverend R? He said, no, I haven't been able to meet him. He said, well, let me tell you about him. He said, yeah, tell me about him. He said, he loves his daughter more than life itself. And he's not worried at all about going back to prison. Not my best parenting moment. All right, I'm not proud of this. I'm just saying that once this takes hold, it's hard to shake. We took our son to college, and in college orientation, the president of the college stood up and said, "Look, You cannot call us about your child's homework. Not your job anymore." I thought he was kidding. He's not kidding. You cannot call us about the class schedule. That's not your job anymore. Okay, so that is like wrong on so many levels. It's a different sermon. But my point tonight is that when you love a child, yours or anybody's, it changes you. You see the world differently. It's not just true for parents. It's true for anybody who knows what it is to love a child. And so when we love a child, we have a choice to make. We have a decision we need to make. And the decision is this. Do we just protect the ones we love? Or do we endeavor to make the world in which we live a better place for all of God's children? What do you think your calling is? I think this may be the reason that God came to us as a child, not a king or man of power, but came to us as a helpless infant, because God knows the power that a child has over the human heart to change our sense of responsibility for tomorrow. And I think God knows the world needs a people who feel a sense of responsibility for tomorrow. Dorothy Day, she had her little girl. She said she knew a flood of love and joy, and it was an experience that created a need to worship, she said, and that worship launched her on a journey that quickly led her to participate in making the world a better place for all of God's children. She helped create the Catholic Worker Movement. She built hospitality houses for people who had no place to live, and she didn't just let them live there, she lived there with them. She fed those who had nothing to eat, and she didn't just feed them, she ate with them. She met those on the bottom, and she worked to lift them up. She imagined a better tomorrow and sacrificed to bring it a little closer. And she did all of this because she loved a child. I think that's the reason that God came as a child, as a helpless infant, because God knows the power that kind of love has on us. And God wants there to be a people who feel a responsibility for tomorrow and are willing to sacrifice to make it a little better, who won't stop because we love a child. So tonight, light a candle. Remember that the light shines in the darkness. Don't pay attention to the darkness, not tonight. Pay attention to the light. It may seem fragile, but it is strong enough to carry you through. And tomorrow, celebrate a little bit. Rest a little bit. Have a conversation with someone you love about something that matters. But when all the celebration is over, remember, God has given you this baby. God has given you this baby. So we've got responsibilities now. We see the world a little differently now, and we know we have work to do. For the love of God has given you this child. And this baby is counting on us. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.